This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And in the Inner Sanctum in the studio is Josh Blanksby, the CEO of the Melbourne Racing Club, who's got a lot to look forward to, as we all do, in the next few days. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, great, Matt. Very good, thanks.
Now, I was rapt to hear that John J. Hollywood Bowden in the news update said that on Saturday the weather's going to be 24 degrees, because it made me think directly of the impromptu pool area with the life-saving guards, because at All Stakes Day you had a plummet from previous tops of 30s, and the life-saving guards were looking pretty lonely there, but the pool will be utilised on Diamond Day.
Yeah, absolutely, Matty. We were a bit unlucky there, the fickleness of Melbourne weather when you put on a beach club theme. So the Bondi Sands Beach Club will be in full operation, and hopefully plenty of people can head down there and jump in the pool and have a good time.
Well, and that precinct is very lively, isn't it? It's very kid-friendly. I think the Clip Clop Club is down there, and that's a sort of an adjunct to the overall racing package, and it'll be on full display on Saturday, because I was just trying to work out, when I was looking at the noms for, well, the final field for the Diamond, and then the noms for the Futurity and the Oakley Plate and the Autumn Stakes and all those races, it is arguably your number one race card for the year, right up there with the Guineas Day.
Yeah, look, I think that's a fair comment, Matt. I always think it's been one of the most underrated race days across the whole carnival in Australia. So, to have it here in summer period, it's a culmination of our summer racing. We race a lot through this period, and the theming we can do around it is to make it a little bit different, so that those true racing enthusiasts still head down there. You know, it's fantastic. The horses are just as good, and we just make it a little bit more relaxed. So no tie. You can put the shorts on in the members.
It's still what do you call it? Relaxed racing.
Yep. We're relaxed racing right through to Easter, and again, just trying to make it a bit different from spring. For those guys who, usually like to just maybe have a barbecue in the backyard or just go down to the local pub, then just come down to the race course, because it's just as good. You know, the beer's cold and the sun will be shining.
The it's very hard for racing. It's almost impossible to replicate the crowds of spring in the autumn. We can replicate everything else and even improve the weather, which we do at this time of year, but it's still very, very difficult to get a 15,000-plus crowd, no matter how good the racing is. But I'm sure you're putting on everything you possibly can to get them there. And I know the dining and all that sort of stuff at Caulfield and the entertainment. But it's still this continual niggle of how do we get that extra 10,000 through the gate, or the extra 5,000?
Yeah, look, I think that's probably a fair comment, Matt. But I'm pretty strong that we don't give up on the period, because I think if you do that, then you will head dwindling crowds, and we've seen that in other racing codes and other sports. So we'll keep putting our shoulder to the wheel around this time, and we would hope for a crowd of towards that 15,000 on Saturday with the weather good and as you said, the fields. So, and that would be that'd be a fantastic success, and you hope that those people that come down then come back for Spring Carnival. That's sort of the whole aim of it.
Well, that's right, and you've got signature horses too. There's probably only about two or three more exciting horses in the country than Nature Strip, and it's we're expecting the acceptances come out shortly, so we're fully expecting that Nature Strip will be among the runners in the Oakley Plate, and the Diamond's one of those enticingly even additions. And I think one of the great stories of the Blue Diamond this year, and I just had a chat to Chris Beig, is the alliance that's been formed between Chris Beig and the Fung family of Aquas Farm, and what a cash cow that's been for the Connections Are Free of Debt.
Yeah, no, it's credit to them, and happy for the club. They pay the late fee, which is always always nice for the Blue Diamond. But yeah, aren't Aquas having a crack? They're really investing into the racing industry, up in Queensland as well as down here in Melbourne now, and it's good that new people getting involved in racing and investing in it.
Have you Googled the full story of Tony Fung and his various enterprises? He was, discussing it with Chris Beig before, he was a world competitive go-kart driver who used to race go-karts against a teenage Ayrton Senna.
Right.
He's got a Wagyu enterprise, he's got a sugarcane enterprise, he's got the $4.6 billion casino that's just been granted approval north of Cairns, so they are certainly a powerful player as far as what they bring to the table resource-wise, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And, they sponsored a few races for us over the spring, and, we're hopefully to get more involved with them, because I think they have acknowledged that, they want to give back to the industry, and they see, race club sponsorships and race club hospitalities as a way to do that.
Just before we talk about the Blue Diamond itself and the barrier draw and all that sort of stuff, just the final sign-off on why people should go to the Blue Diamond Stakes on Saturday. We've mentioned that the weather's going to be fantastic, and there's probably a bigger kids and family opportunity than in the spring, because it's the space is a bit freer, the crowd is lower, but there are great amenities for families. So I imagine the urge, if there's a demographic that you want to encourage, it's probably the families as much as anything else.
Yeah, look, I think that's a theme. Like, you know, from a demographic point of view, Caulfield's in a great spot for those sort of families. You know, they're back at school now, so they're probably looking for something to do on the weekends. And yes, look, head down to Caulfield. You know, the train's easy way to get in there. You know, as you rightly say, the GA area is broad, and there's plenty going on with food trucks and live music, the pool, plenty of rides and so on. So, look, I just think it's, as you said before, it's an underrated race day. You know, the quality on the course will be fantastic, and it should be a good vibe.
Now, the barrier draw was held in the committee room at around 11 o'clock yesterday, and there's been a bit of Twitter activity, and I think RSN's probably got to have a think about how it goes about these things in the future as well, where there was no live coverage on with the industry partner .com, and we were there, but we didn't do it live. We sort of as close to as we could, but there's been a lot of talk on Twitter about why the racing.com didn't broadcast the barrier draw live.
Yeah, they've got. I noticed that as well. And you know, from a club's perspective, you know, we would always love our barrier draws to be covered. Obviously, from any media, and I was really happy yesterday with the amount of media that were there and the amount of interest. And you know, saw it on Fox Sports last night and Channel 10 News. So you know, the general interest from media is great. And as we said before, for this time of year, that is unusual. So it's good to get that. I spoke to Racing.com yesterday afternoon, and you know, they acknowledged that, you know, they could probably look at the barrier draw, and you know, they're happy to keep chatting about it. They obviously cover things such as our Guineas and Caulfield Cup, the big ones, but if, as we said before, if we're going to give a real push to this summer-autumn period, then we need to all get behind it.
Yeah, I think there'd be an expectation of coverage, and I think that's what the message was through social media, and also an expectation on RSN, so I think we can all have a think about that in the future, no doubt. All right, so let's have a look at some other issues, Josh. They are racing at Sandown today, and obviously every time they race at Sandown, people are wondering about what's going on with Sandown in the future, and I know it's sort of a simmering issue without anything necessarily really going on. At least that's been the case for quite some time. But they're racing there today, so the question gets asked again. Is there any update on the overall future of Sandown situation?
No, not specifically, Matt. You know, I understand why people want to talk about that. And, you know, the big thing that's happened for the club in the last few months has been the 65-year lease that we've obtained at Caulfield. Now, we were looking for that for 5 or 6 years. We've had no certainty. We've been operating on a, you know, pretty much on a month-to-month basis, which is pretty crazy for such an important part of land. But, you know, we've been able to come to a great agreement with the government. We've now got a new landlord at the Caulfield Racecourse Reserve Trust, and they've got some pretty big plans. And as people, as listeners will know, that was the trigger for the government to say training now needs to leave Caulfield. But what it's given the club is now some certainty, so we can start making some plans around Caulfield. And, you know, we've got a pretty ambitious master plan at Caulfield. You know, we want to put a second track in, we want to put lights in, and really invest into Caulfield in terms of the facilities. Those who've been out there will realise that, you know, it's getting a little bit tired. And when you compare it to Flemington, their new stand, or Randwick, or what Moonee Valley want to do, you know, we don't want to fall behind. You know, we're a very proud club and want to keep providing our service to the members and the participants. So as part of that, as a responsible club, we'll start looking at all our land holdings and all our infrastructure, including Mornington Racecourse and Sandown Racecourse, and work with Racing Victoria on what the optimum, you know, footprint is for racing in metropolitan Melbourne.
Well, let's crystal ball it 10 years down the track, because Amanda Elliott was in here last week and gave us a bit of a peek into the crystal ball of what they hope may happen, not necessarily what will happen. And I know that there's a massive building work going on around the track at the moment. Those apartments are all rising up around the track. I know that there's some plans for the railway station as well to develop in some way, and the use of the infield and so on. So when you and I go to the races in 10 years' time at Caulfield, what are we going to see? I mean, and you talk about lights and night racing thing. What's the Caulfield Racecourse precinct going to look and feel like in 10 years' time?
Yeah, look, I think it'll be vastly different. So there are planning going on at the moment, led by the state government, because, again, they own that Crown land, they own the train station. Monash University is across the way. But, you know, they're a very powerful entity with some big grand plans as well. You know, tertiary education is so important in the state. So
they use you a bit too, don't they, for exams and
yeah,
things?
They do. Yeah, yeah. They use us a lot. And so the relationship between the two entities is strong. So what I envision seeing there, is a bubbling precinct. That Caulfield Village, which you see coming out of the front of Caulfield, it's going to be 4,000 residents there, shopping centres, cafes, restaurants. And then, as you rightly say, the government and the new trust are sort of indicating they'd like to utilise the infield. Now, what that might be, we're not sure, and that's not our job, that's not our land. But, you know, I can see sporting ovals or parklands or, you know, more use, community use in there. So I think what you'll see is more of a sort of a bubbling sort of precinct there with a lot more use, and I think it'll be fantastic for racing.
The VRC, there seems to be a bit of a a shift away from the current model? I know the VRC seemed to be moving in a direction of self-contained racing industry within itself precinct. MRC seems to be going along a similar way, and you wonder what it means about the overall structure with the RV model and all that sort of stuff. Is it almost a desire to become an industry within yourself type thing? And it seems like Flemington are evolving in a similar way of a completely independent precinct model of racing that's very much MRC centric.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. You know, we work very closely with the other clubs and, you know, with RVL in terms of what is the optimum model. I mean, I don't think anyone's saying that, you know, where we're going to race at Flemington or Caulfield at the same time. That's not. So we understand the patterns and how each racetrack has a different point of view. I think all the clubs are saying is that each of the clubs are different, and that's a good thing. And competition, you know, raises the tide. And, you know, Moonee Valley are really owning their night space and just want pretty much to be a night venue, which I think is fantastic from where they sit demographically as well. And then Flemington are obviously saying they'd like to utilise Flemington more, which I think is great for the industry, because for a while there, Flemington only really wanted to race 20 times a year. In fact, now they're willing to do Sunday afternoons and twilights and talking about Oaks Day as a twilight. That's good for the overall industry. And I think every other sport has consolidated its assets and sort of said, well, let's invest significantly into those assets, make them absolutely world-class and use them more. So I think racing should be looking down that path.
Absolutely. The Caulfield trainers, obviously the big news was the Mar Eustace purchase of the Weir Stables in Ballarat, but they're not shifting the Caulfield base yet, but you imagine there'll be a trickle turn into a larger move. Is there any more activity that you're aware of Caulfield trainers who are maybe looking to move on before the 5-year eviction notice elapses?
Look, nothing specific at all. Obviously, the trainers only received the news in November. So, you know, we committed to a 5-year term, and you know, the facilities will remain in pristine condition for those 5 years. So, I understand that they'll take their time, look at their options. You're right, you know. Just through circumstance, the Weir Stables became available, and Kieran and David jumped on those. So, but you know, they've told us that they're committed to the amount of boxes at Caulfield at the moment. You know, that they're seeing a lot of success from there. So, look, I think each trainer will look at their different options. Ballarat's now opened up again, you know, in terms of opportunities. Cranbourne and Pakenham are still there. Others might head down the coast. So, nothing specific, but you know, we'll obviously keep talking to the trainers.
There was an initial reluctance of the trainers to think about Pakenham. They were a bit more friendly about the idea of Cranbourne, and a few wanted to go to Flemington, but Flemington's basically shut the gate straight away and said, well, unless something dramatic happens here, there's no room. Is there a slow acceptance of the idea of Pakenham coming through that you've twigged to with the trainers, or is there a package, in inverted commas, a compo package that might make Pakenham a more attractive option for trainers? Or
look, I haven't heard anything specifically, but I know that the trainers are able to talk to Racing Victoria around that. You know, what is there in that $40 million sort of package that the government and Racing Victoria and MRC have come up with? So look, I'm sure that again they're all looking at their own business choices and what it also means for them personally. You know, where they are in their life and stuff with their families and stuff. So, you know, the 5 years was really important, and the government acknowledged that term. You know, that term didn't need to be given, and that was done for this reason, to give them some time.
Hey, did you ever have a chat to the City of Glen Eira, the issue of the rapidly escalating rent of the ground for the charity cricket match, which knocked a few noses out of joint? I think a few of us thought it may have been a bit of a snub to racing in general, and we certainly that was certainly felt by a few of the jockeys. Did you ever get around to having a chat to the City of Glen Eira about what motivated that steep hike in the rental of the ground for the day?
I haven't specifically, but we've got our MRC Foundation Gala Ball tomorrow night, and the mayor's coming along. So it's good that he's coming along, and so I might just have a bit of a chat to him about sort of why he did that. Now, he's new in the role, so we're obviously trying to improve the relationships there with the council and understand that.
Out of just personal curiosity, you'd want to have a chat about that, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been there for years. You know, asking for 10 grand. Maybe we'll give the benefit of the doubt. It was an administrative point, and they just sort of.
Well, the precinct was handed back to the you know, I mean, you did make a nice gesture their way with the announcement of the trainers, so I would have thought there would have been a bit of a friendlier attitude towards the charity cricket match. But anyway, hey, you mentioned the charity ball. We'll have a chat about that after the break, and there's a few more items to tick off as well. But for now, Josh, we'll take a short break. I'm with Josh Blanksby, the CEO of the Melbourne Racing Club. Lots more to discuss. It's 20 minutes past nine. You're listening to Inner Sanctum.
This is exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
And we're only days out from, what I reckon is arguably the greatest race meeting put on by the MRC every year, and it's the Blue Diamond Oakley Plate Futurity Stakes race meeting. And I've got the CEO of the Melbourne Racing Club, Josh Blanksby, with me, not just to talk about that, but to talk about all things MRC. And one of the most glittering occasions every year is the MRC Foundation Blue Diamond Ball Black Tie Affair. Bert and Paddy hosting, Jackie and Michael. And you're going to gang up on the Lord Mayor on, what's that, tomorrow night?
Yeah, look, it's tomorrow night. So it's the fourth annual running of it. I assume Michael's off getting his spray tan or something. That's why he couldn't be in here this morning.
The spray hair, you can't, it's rock solid, that hair, once he gets it treated.
Yeah. So look, the foundation was established 4 years ago just to sort of raise funds for in those areas where the race club acknowledges that it can have an impact. And obviously we run venues that have their pubs and gambling, and the sport of racing is a dangerous sport. So tomorrow night the funds are being raised for our stable wellbeing program. So we've identified both at Caulfield and Mornington, you know, that there are some people involved in the industry who aren't employees of the club but are involved in there that, you know, may be going through some hard times. And so the stable wellbeing program, we've got an affiliation with Monash Link Health. So the money raised all goes to put that program in place. That program's been in place for about 2 years now. And look, it's working really well, and it's giving those people an outlet to sort of, you know, if they are going through any sort of concerns or they need a bit of support, you know, it can sort of focus on that. So look, it's a great night. It's a lot of fun that we have 400 people. We have it at the race course because it's a bit of a point of difference. A lot of people go to, you know, things, events at Crown or so on a lot. So coming to the race course is different, and all our corporate partners and sponsors come along and help out. So it should be a good night.
Is there a recurring theme of issues that stable people have that it comes to the concern of the foundation and is addressed by the foundation? Is it, I guess there's a lot of crossover. There'd be financial issues, depression issues, work-related issues, bullying-related issues. And I imagine as we evolve that those issues, hopefully in the workplace, are diminishing as far as bullying and things like that. But is there a general theme that's emerged of the concerns that these people have that approached or are approached by the foundation?
Look, I don't think it's any different to any other workforce and so on, but I mean the hours that these people work or required to work is difficult. You know, early mornings, and then with racing and, you know, what we ask of people, you know, it puts them under stress and strains. And then, you know, when things happen, say for example the Darren Weir situation, that can happen very quickly, and all of a sudden you know your future income, your future job prospects can look very, you know, very grim very quickly. So, you know, the stable wellbeing program is just a program that's there. You know, it's also about education to a lot of the participants, and you know, in terms of what we're fortunate enough to get as maybe an employee of a larger organisation. These smaller operations, they don't have the you know, the means to provide that. So look, the trainers have been really great. They've really got on board, and you know, to see that this can help and support those participants.
Do the those in need reach out to the foundation generally, or is it generally the foundation through its own activities discovering these pockets of areas of concern?
Yeah, look, it's probably started off as the latter, you know, us having to sort of, you know, put on sort of things such as barbecues and these sort of social gatherings to again allow these sort of issues to come. But, you know, I'm happy to say that, you know, as it becomes more aware and people realise that, you know, what it is, because a lot of people who are going through problems, you know, it's difficult to ask for help. So, you know, we're very conscious that we've used Monash Link Health, you know, the Melbourne Racing Club and the Melbourne Racing Club Foundation. We're not experts in this. We're not counsellors. We don't know what to identify. So got Monash Link Health in. They're the experts. They come in and chat and are available. And, you know, they're the ones who probably can identify where someone might be going through some problems.
And I know you and I have discussed this before, and we probably haven't been on exactly the same page, but I think we do agree that amid the continual emphasis on turnover and things like that, that there also has to be other messages about racing, and this, the work of the foundation is certainly one of those, in inverted commas, feel-good sort of messages, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think so. And look, again, as I said at the start, we are conscious of the business we are in. We're in racing, gambling, and the sale of alcohol. Now, for a small portion of the population, that causes problems. So, you know, this is acknowledgement of that, and what ways, what programs can we put back into to allow that to be diminished, as you said before. So, yeah, look, I think it's a great night.
You mentioned the Weir drama, and it's a massive issue that affects so many, because it was an industry within itself, the Weir stable. It was an industrial size stable, and staff yesterday, 12 staff got put off and so on, and the message to racing about our greatest fairy tale trainer is certainly one that you'll wonder how it impacts out there in the burbs. Has there been an immediate impact on whatever KPIs you'd measure it by, or do you wonder whether a story like that on top of one or two other major stories of such gravity will have a ongoing negative impact on your business and racing in general?
Yeah, from a short term perspective, we haven't seen that yet. You know, the wagering and the runner numbers and you know and the attendance and so forth have all been strong. But I think you rightly say it's a legacy effect of these sort of matters. I mean, my opinion is that you know it's great that the investment is going into integrity, that Racing Victoria are looking into these things. You know, they move much more sharply and quickly on the Weir one compared to probably the Aquanita one and certainly the Cobalt one prior. Now every case is different. I get that, but I think the fact that we're moving much quicker through these issues, you know, in terms of the ongoing, I think racing's always got to be aware. You know, I think you and I have discussed this, and I think this is, you know, society is changing, and the views of what, you know, this concept, it's an often used term, but social license, and that's above what your legal obligation is. So we're very conscious of a club about that. So things such as safety at the race courses and welfare of people we talked about before, you know, I think we need to be above the legal grounding, and racing needs to be open about its issues but also then open about how it's dealing with them.
I even reckon one thing that has changed a lot in recent years on Caulfield Cup Day, and I'm not sure Cup Week has sort of caught up yet with the sort of the look and behaviour issue of, I remember the signature of Caulfield Cups for years was the drunken teenagers falling about themselves afterwards. But I reckon that experience has changed a lot in the last decade. Have you felt the same way?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And that's the way we also measure ourselves. So, you know, the attendance number is not the be-all and end-all. You know, that's a metric that media like and certain people like as a success of an event. That's not a way that we measure ourselves. We measure ourselves on spend and people coming along, and we want to graduate people up through the racing experience to end up coming as a GA, then coming to a membership, and then coming to a restaurant and so on, hopefully sponsoring or owning horses. So, yeah, I think for Caulfield Cup now, we like the crowd around that 30,000 to 35,000 on the current footprint, and that works really well. From a profitability perspective, it's still the same as having 50,000 in there because you're just getting people in there enjoying themselves and willing to spend more money. And you're right, in terms of the look of the club and the experience for people, they'll come back again.
Because I remember when I was at the Herald Sun, there was on Caulfield Cup Day at around 4 o'clock, Pictorial department, oh, right, I'll get someone out to get a photo of the carnage, you know, with the staggering teenagers. And every Sunday Herald Sun after the Caulfield Cup, there was your front page photo. So, and I haven't seen that for a few years, so that's a good thing.
That's good.
Now, there's a lot of good things happening in racing at the moment, and one of them is this curious concept known as the All-Star Mile, which is to be run for the first time at Flemington. Actually, we've got an outside broadcast tomorrow to reveal the final tally of horses that are going to make up the 10 without the wild cards, or maybe the wild cards are announced as well tomorrow, but we'll soon find out tomorrow with an OB out there. But first year is to be Flemington on March 16, and then a rotation between Caulfield and Moonee Valley. And that brings you into it, obviously, because you're a major player with the All-Star Mile. It hasn't been without its little asterisks along the way. So I think whatever happens first year, perhaps the second year model will be a little bit tweaked.
Yeah, look, I think that's right. I think everyone's, you know, I think it's been fantastic in terms of the debate. You know, whether it's right or wrong, people's got an opinion about the field makeup, whether the benchmark's high enough, how the wild cards work. I think that's created debate, which I think is a big tick in terms of what the whole idea of it was. Yeah, of course, we'll tweak and fine-tune. And this has been one venture where all the clubs and RV have been involved together. So even though it's at Flemington this year, you know, we've got participation on the working group as we work through it and see the pros and cons of it. So, look, no doubt, you know, it was a pretty bold experiment to sort of try to get it going so quickly. But, you know, I think it was worth it. And, you know, and at the end, let's have a look at the overall impact on the autumn, I think, and the spring, and the summer and the autumn, because I think it's also important that it's not just that race day that the success is measured on. It's the overall aspect. And I know there's been a bit of sort of, well, has it dominated the headlines too much, for say example like Blue Diamond on Saturday. So I'm willing to wait for judgment at the end to see how we go through it. You know, the evidence on the all day was obviously wagering was strong. Our attendance was a bit soft, but that was probably weather related. So from our perspective, we want to see at the end of the whole carnival to see if it's lifted the whole experience.
If there are any obvious tweaks, are there any that jump into your mind? I know this is one that I'm sure you'll probably agree with because it's a positive for the MRC, but I wonder whether to get relevant in-your-face form with good horses and encouraging them to campaign through Melbourne leading into the All-Star Mile, whether All Futurity, Australian Guineas and Blamey winners should be tick, 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 straight into the race?
Yeah, look, I think they should look at that. I mean, we floated to Racing Victoria over the weekend. Why don't you announce on Monday that the winner of the Futurity gets a definite wild card? think Greg Carpenter came as far as he could by suggesting on Monday it's very, very likely. But I think your idea that then you know that, you know, and Godolphin obviously aiming at the futurity for certain horses to try to get through. Look, I think there will be tweaking. I mean, my read of it is that I think maybe some of sort of what I'll call racing establishment probably didn't jump on board the voting concept as early as some of the of the non-ones. And, you know, obviously the Urban Rule is the one who's done it really well. Most syndicators got on it much earlier. I think next year those bigger stables will probably realise, geez, we better get onto this a little bit earlier.
So they don't have to play too much catch-up.
Correct. So they're not playing catch-up. They're not trying to secure a wild card. So I think that'll probably smooth itself out.
So you get the All-Star next year?
Yes.
And then Moonee Valley and then that continual rotation? I think they're going to be doing some major works at Moonee Valley in the next 2 or 3 years, aren't they? That might impact the rotation.
Yeah, I think they're going to get, so we'll get 2020, they'll get 2021, and then I think they're hoping to do their reno after that, and with the view that when it comes back in 2024, they'll be back up and running. And they want to run on a Friday night, which I think is a really good innovation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Josh. Well, it really is one of the great race meetings. My kids are desperate to go on Saturday, and they only ever want to go to the picnics these days. So for them to go to a city race meeting, and it's off the back of Nature Strip, they want to see the fastest horse in the world go around at Caulfield on Saturday in the Oakley Plate. Is there anything in particular that you're most looking forward to on the program? We all love the babies, but is there anything that if there's one race you're looking forward to on Saturday?
Oh, I'm with you. I think the Oakley Plates are fantastic. It stood the test of time. You know, 1,100 metres. You know, the fact it's a handicap. You know, I think we're all sort of seeing we'll Nature Strip. It'll be out front for a long time. But there's some good horses in that race. So I think they'll all be coming down the middle of the track towards the end.
And just to give it one big spruik for those who are thinking about going to the Blue Diamond, GA is off the top of your head.
$30
to get in. And there's a wonderful kids precinct. The pool will be active. The lifeguards are there, so don't worry about the kiddies. And it's going to be about 24 degrees, so it's going to be absolutely fantastic and lots of room to move with probably a ceiling on the crowd of 10-ish.
Oh, no. We'll get closer to 13 or 14,000.
Okay. So, well, there you go. Still comfortable, though.
Still comfortable, yeah. And look, it's a good experience for those who maybe only focus on Spring Carnival. And you know, when the invites come into the birdcage or the marquees, this is a different experience. So grab a couple of people. You know, you can, as I said, it's short, it's very relaxed, and it's good fun on the lawn.
And just one last one on the obligations of the CEO. There's a lot going on socially and administratively through these big race meetings. Have you had a busy week and you've still got plenty to come up?
Yeah, look, it's a fun week. It's not as intense as Caulfield Cup week, but you know, it's really building nicely. You know, barrier draws and then doing a little bit of media and stuff, and then our gala ball. So, look, from my perspective, our teams do all the hard work. I just get to sort of come along.
And we've got an OB out there, an OB, starting from 10:30 through till about midday. So look forward to re-catching up with you out there.
We'll have a chat then, Matt.
Good on you, Josh.